craziest story I've ever heard about someone getting kicked out of a band. You saw this posted on social media yesterday, Jim, and your jaw dropped.
Yeah, I had to rub my eyes.
Here's a hardcore band. This is like the screamo kind of music that these guys perform.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Hardcore band that is based in Tennessee. They're called Lorona, and the lead singer of the band, Diego, has been kicked out because of something he did to another bandmate who goes by the name of Six. So Six is dating a girl. He's actually engaged to her. Her name's Caroline. Now, the lead singer of the band, Diego, apparently obsessed with Caroline. So he came up with a plan to get Caroline all to himself. How do you even think of this? These guys aren't, they're not making enough money off of music just to have no other job.
No, they're a small band.
Small-time
indie,
band.
Total indie, like 1,000 followers. They're not big at all.
Diego also has a side job where he's working at a nutrition supplement store.
Yeah.
And he has been giving Six all sorts of free pre-workout stuff, supplements, protein, powders, potions. He's like, here, man, I get this stuff free from work. It's samples, so it's been opened already. Just go ahead and use it. It's on me. What Six didn't know is he had been spiking this stuff with estrogen to try and make Six. Diego wanted to make Six more feminine so his girlfriend would or fiance would eventually leave him. And then Diego would be able to swoop in and steal his girlfriend.
The logic and it's just the most bizarre roundabout way to try to break up a relationship. There's so many ways I've heard before that do work. This is such a crazy idea. Not to mention that it's illegal. You're poisoning your buddy. All the other crazy things. But just the fact that he thought that this would be the way for him to get in is insane.
Yeah. Like, there's no guarantee, even if he does become more feminine, which was the plan, that one, Caroline is going to leave the guy.
Yeah.
Or two, she's going to pick you if she does.
Crazy. Why not you just do steroids and you get more masculine? Like, why take your buddy down? Obviously, he's not your buddy.
So, Diego was dosing his bandmate Six with estrogen. Six started feeling sick, and he went to the doctor. He's like, I feel off. I don't know what's going on. My body's changing. Well, Diego got drunk and admitted to some of the other bandmates that he had been putting the estrogen in these supplements and giving them to the other guy.
They have the text message screenshots, too. I've seen
a text exchange.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Lorona has announced they have kicked Diego out of the band.
Yes.
Rightfully so.
And I hope the authorities were called because this is poisoning. This guy, Six, was going to the doctor saying, what is wrong with me? No. I'm feeling like
stomach
garbage.
Stomach ulcers. He said his body has changed.
Obviously.
He's now paying off medical bills because this is down in the U.S. where you go to the doctor, it's coming out of your wallet, right?
Yeah, insane. I've never heard of something like this. And even the comments on our Facebook page are saying, if this were in a movie, I would criticize it for being too unrealistic. People are truly terrifying. And it is. That's your friend.
It's just psycho behavior.
It is psychotic behavior. Man.
Any other comments there? Everyone just shocked that someone could do this.
Why did Diego go to prison? No, wait. What the heck? No. Pretty sure food tampering is a serious crime, says Peter. Absolutely it is. Julia says, part ways is an odd way to spell, threw him out of the band and phoned the cops. Because, yeah, it was a very formal address when they, put it out there. He said, we've decided to part ways. And they put the story out there, but they could have been a lot more harsh, I think. If this is the details that are released to the public, imagine the details they're keeping private.
Yeah.
Who knows what else he's capable of?
From the Global Newsroom, Devin Peacock joins us in studio. You're telling us about this poll.
I think it's a funny poll. So there's a new poll that says, has found Ontario is full of very confident drivers. 84% of people in this province say they're average or above average when it comes to their driving abilities.
And there's where there's wherein lies the problem. Everyone thinks they're the best driver.
Men are especially confident in their abilities. The Ontario Provincial Police, however, would disagree with everyone in Ontario. They believe driving has only gotten worse, with previous years being notably tragic on the roads, with an increased number of crashes and fatal crashes.
So I guess if you're better than average, like only 50% of people can be better than average, technically, really. But what makes a bad driver? Like, how many drivers out there, percentage-wise, are technically bad drivers, would you say? Is it 50% of people?
Well, I'm a great driver, so I'd say the majority of everyone else on the road is terrible. They're always getting in my way.
I'm going to say 5%. I'm just throwing it out there. I feel
5%
like
of drivers are terrible?
Are visibly, if you're driving around, I think visibly terrible.
No way. It's got to be closer to 25%. 25% of drivers are bad drivers on the road, I would say.
I guess like they're not putting on their, there's varying degrees. There's people who are not putting on their blinker. There's people who are riding your butt. And then there's also people who are drinking and driving, smashing. It's like there's a very big spectrum.
So one of the biggest pet peeves people have about other drivers, because again, we're the good ones. Everyone else is the bad ones.
Yeah, I know. It's people, I'm surprised to think that all those terrible drivers think they're good like us.
Is all the people who blow through stop signs. That is one of the top pet peeves people have amongst other drivers on the road.
A pet peeve? That seems like a full-blown peeve.
It's a legitimate complaint. One thing that's been driving me nuts on the road, and I've seen it, like I feel like I've seen it more in the past 3 months than I ever have in my life. It's people changing lanes too close or in an intersection. You know, you're going through lights and someone will pass you while you're entering an intersection, which is very dangerous.
Yeah.
So while 84% think they're an above average driver, 89% are also increasingly angry or annoyed with other drivers. So these two aren't really, so there's a little road rage.
Can you guys imagine being one of those terrible drivers?
Honestly, I couldn't.
That thinks they're better than everyone else. Thank God we're all so good at driving.
I'm not delusional.
I'm amazing.
We're pretty great. Jim, you were telling us a couple weeks ago about the movie Saltburn.
Mm-hmm.
You watched that with Sarah, your wife, right?
Yeah.
And you said it was a little strange.
A few disturbing scenes in it. Made me throw up in my mouth a little.
You described the disturbing scenes to me and said, I should watch it. I still haven't. I don't know if I'm going to at this point.
I only say you'd watch it so you know what people are talking about. It's not a movie I enjoyed. I don't think it's very good.
People seem to be loving it, though. A lot of Saltburn fans out there. Drayton House is a 700-year-old estate in England, and it was the mansion they used as the Saltburn Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the owners have had to hire extra security staff to patrol the property because Saltburn fans are trespassing. And from what we know about the movie, Saltburn fans could be a little freaky.
I could imagine, because there is some outdoor shenanigans, for lack of a better term, going on in that movie. There's also a giant hedge maze, kind of like The Shining, but it's like, I wonder if that was really on the property, or if that was CGI added in after, because I could see random strangers wanting to get in that hedge maze and get to the center of it.
Yeah, that would be fun. Have you ever done a hedge maze?
I've done plenty of corn mazes.
I've done the corn maze as well. The maze,
Storybook Gardens.
The maze, as they called them.
Yeah. To our Incan ancestors, yes. I've done a lot of mazes, but no hedge maze, I don't think.
Mm. Well, book a flight over to the Drayton House.
Mm-hmm. Is there a dead body in the center? We shall find out.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Whose dead body, though?
Touché. I already said I'm not watching the movie.
It's not worth it.
You described the scene with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need to see that. I did on my social media, though, after you gave your review, of the film, a recipe popped up for salt water or salt burn bath water shots. And
so it just themed.
Yeah, cheers. It's all made with alcohol and like actual ingredients, but it's made to look like the bath water from the movie. And if you know what we're talking about, does not sound appetizing to most people. Yeah. Maybe some.
The water be a little cloudy.
A little murky. A little murky. Disgusting. In the old shot glass. I want to see you peacock. Time for sports with Devin Peacock, our sports guy. Dev, I noticed that John Tavares, Toronto Maple Leaf, has been playing on the third line, and it doesn't seem that they're moving him back up. Is this a demotion for Tavares?
I don't think it's a demotion. If you're looking at numerically in terms of the lines, yes, it is an obvious demotion. But in terms of what it means for the team, the opportunities it creates for Tavares, I don't view it as a demotion. So what happened was a couple weeks ago he was sick. Max Domi took his spot on the second line. Tyler Bertuzzi took his spot on the power play, and they fit. They clicked. They started to play really well together. So when he came back, he was on the third line with Nick Robertson and Bobby McMahon, and they fit. They kind of clicked. And over the past couple of weeks, the Leafs have been on a real streak. They won the five games that Morgan Rielly was suspended for, but then they kept winning the two games after that. And when you look at the Leafs lineup right now, it's a bit more balanced, because what Tavares on the third line allows him to do is not be against the other team's top units. He can go against the other team's third lines, the other team's fourth lines, and John Tavares is not your average third liner. He's still an extremely talented player, so you allow him to create, you allow him to work with two young guys who have a lot of energy. I think it is something that maybe has unlocked a bit of a piece for the Leafs roster here going into the playoffs. It's a really, really interesting element for the Leafs. I'm kind of excited about it.
Well, I'm very happy for you and all the Leaf fans out there. It's all coming together at the right time, and I think we can officially say, plan the parade!
A third liner's taking us home!
It's not a guarantee. It's not. Don't get the entire Leaf Nation hating me on this one, all right?
A little extra depth.
It's extra depth. It's a trade at the trade deadline without moving any pieces. How about that?
Pains me to think that I may never be able to go to Wendy's again, because if they go ahead with this, I don't know if I can support the business model.
Yeah. Wendy's wants to start an Uber-like surge pricing model in 2025. Now, if you're not familiar what that is, surge pricing, it's a popular term in the last few years. Basically, what happens under this test that Wendy's may do in 2025, burgers, Frosties, and other menu items will have, quote, dynamic prices, costing more during times of increased demand. So if a combo, a single bacon deluxe combo, was $15 now, if they did this surge pricing thing, during noon it could cost $20, maybe $25, depending on how busy the drive-thru is at the time.
No way.
That's what they're saying, because on New Year's Eve, they're quote or citing Lyft and Uber, and what happens is, like, you try to call an Uber for a ride home on New Year's Eve, there's thousands of people calling, so they can, based on supply versus demand, they can charge you an increased amount, and that's how it works. And if there's no, like, if it's 4 in the morning and everybody's already home, the price goes down. So if you went to go buy a burger, it would be cheaper.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. The concert ticket thing is another example of the surge pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been losing it over that. You know, you go online, if you try to buy a ticket, as soon as they go on sale, some of the tickets are costing like over $1,000.
Yes.
When they should only cost about 110.
Especially when we know there's an artificial demand. Like, obviously concert tickets are selling, but there's an artificial demand by bots and scalpers buying them up. So if there's a lot of those guys, then the price goes up too.
I will say this right now. Any burger joint that does surge pricing, I will never eat at.
What if at like 2 p.m. it went down significantly? Like, I got a feeling it's not going to get lower than the standard price right now. But if hypothetically you went at 2 p.m. instead of noon, and instead of the burger costed $15, it cost $10. Would that be okay? Because it sounds like they're gouging lower income people right now. But if they give them a benefit to ease congestion.
Well, then word's going to get out that the burgers are cheaper than normal and the place is going to get busy. And then by the time I get down there, who's to say the burgers are now $5 more than they would have been?
And do you have to have a NASDAQ app on your phone to constantly see where it's the demand is?
You need a ticker going across the bottom of your phone saying this is the price of a burger at Wendy's. Here's the price of a burger at Harvey's.
It's red and green. The arrow's up and down. That is kind of fun.
No, it's not. I won't eat at any fast food restaurant who does this. This may be the best thing that ever happens to me.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm going to have to start preparing my own food.
Yeah, good. You're going to be surge dieting soon here.
I don't know how this is going to work, but I said the same thing about the DoorDashes and the Uber Eats. Like, well, who's going to pay $10 extra to have the food delivered when you can just go pick it up?
But you're paying a fee for convenience. This helps nobody but Wendy's.
Yeah.
But there will still be people who will go at noon during the peak times, you're
sure? Well, if you're drunk at 2 in the morning after the bar, I could see people paying whatever for a burger, right?
Money is no option.
There you go. Wake up the next day, your wallet's empty, and you got Wendy's wrappers all over the floor. You got surge priced, bud. Well, it'll be interesting. So they haven't announced that they're doing this. They've just floated the idea.
Yes, they're saying perhaps it could be rolled out in 2025.
Okay, well, if that Wendy's focus group that has suggested this could be a good business move is listening right now, it's not.
We're out.
I'm out. Wendy's, I've been a lifelong supporter.
Don't do this to us.
Dave Thomas would not be into this. It hasn't been the best week on record for Toronto police officers in their police vehicles.
There's been a couple videos going around. Yeah, it's not safe driving.
In the past week, a couple stories. Here's one from Global News. Toronto police officer accused of striking pedestrian, then leaving the scene. A Toronto-based law firm, The Biking Lawyer, represents cyclists and pedestrians seeking personal injury claims, posted on social media Wednesday that a Toronto Police Service officer failed to stay and assist a pedestrian after hitting them with the vehicle. The pedestrian wasn't seriously hurt, minor injuries, but the big complaint is they didn't stay at the scene and assist the pedestrian.
It's so obvious. That's who you call is the cops, and they're already there.
And then there's another story. You may have seen this video where a Toronto police cruiser mounts the sidewalk, hits a lamp post or a light post, and knocks it right over.
It looks like a beginner driver because they were turning right and they just don't stop turning right. So they turn right, then hop over the sidewalk, boom, into the lamp post. And it's broad daylight and there are multiple people walking by and it like falls right in between where people would have been walking.
Is that a rational fear that I have, or is it irrational? I'm often worried about lampposts or traffic lights falling on me while I'm driving through intersections.
While you're driving? I'm going to go ahead and say that's irrational.
Especially on a windy day, you know, if you see the traffic lights swaying in the wind a little bit. Yeah. I always go through the intersection a little bit faster.
That's probably the most dangerous part of what's happening in that scenario.
I just gun it
so the lamppost doesn't fall on me.
Oh boy, it's windy. I hope that lamppost doesn't fall on me. Better go 120 through this intersection.
Phew, got away safe.
Nah, it's not that bad, but you don't ever think about that when you're driving?
I never once, no.
Or if you're going past like a construction site and there's a crane, you think, oh, maybe something's going to fall on you?
No, never once.
Maybe I watched too many Looney Tunes cartoons when I was younger.
Too much. Don't you hate when there's a house being constructed and the one wall falls right on top of you and you just slip right between the door?
Luckily, that window was there.
Yeah, whoo, that was close.
No, I think pianos and safes. I'm worried about falling on me.
I mean, it's bound to happen eventually.
Hey, if any of those people who were near that police cruiser have the same fear as me, they're saying I told you so right now.
Now, if a Toronto police officer is running that crane, I might think differently.
We've got a few messages here about people saying that their partners have made positive changes in them. Doug says, thanks to my wife, I do the dishes as I prepare dinner.
That's a great move.
It is.
Clean as you go.
Clean as you go. And what do you think of this?
Okay.
My wife's going to get mad that I'm bringing this up.
I'm in. What You're do you listening? Got, Taz?
My wife has a habit of leaving apple cores around the house.
Yeah. I had a friend like this.
And in her vehicle. So if I get in her vehicle to drive it and I find an apple core, I get very frustrated. Now, the issue isn't necessarily the apple core. It's the fact that I have asked multiple times, please do not leave apple cores on furniture or in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it still happens. So it's almost, I feel like I'm being disrespected every time I see an apple
this
core.
This is, you sound like my wife now, because if I forget to do something that she's asked me to do, she thinks I'm doing it out of aggression or passive aggression to her. Like I'm purposely not locking the door to make her mad, or purposely not putting the seat of the lid down
on
the toilet seat. She's like, at this point, you must be doing it to make me angry. I'm like, no, I got my head in the clouds and I've got earbuds in and I'm thinking about other stuff, and habits are hard to break.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side, in the morning, I will have some yogurt with some berries and I cut the stems or the leaves, the green leaves off of strawberries, and I used to just throw them in the sink and leave them there. And my wife said to me years and years ago, she said to me, before we were even married, she said, it drives me nuts when I see the strawberry tops in the sink. And guess what I did?
What'd you do?
I stopped leaving them there. Yet apple cores... all over the
place.
Is
this something she's been doing since she's a child, though? You know, it might be one of those deeply ingrained. But I hear you, because I don't like the look of the apple core. It starts turning brown. It starts shriveling up. It honestly makes me uncomfortable to see that. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Same with the banana peel. Some people are very comfortable with them turning black around them.
Not me.
I'm not a fan.
No.
Occasionally a fruit fly buzzes by. I'm not a fan. But those ingrained things, those little things, are hard to change.
Should I just let this slide at this point and just get used to the fact that I'm going to be seeing apple cores in my life as long as I'm married?
I don't know what the next strategy, how much of a problem is.
Well, I think I've escalated it here by bringing it up on the radio.
Yeah. And the thing about apple cores,
if she doesn't get the message at this point, I think I just got to accept the apple cores.
Yeah. Just change the background of her phone to you holding an apple core and doing the finger wave.
I don't think that would go over
no?
well.
No? Okay. I'm just
and I don't
think
this is going to go over well. What are you laughing about over there, Jim?
I've just never seen you this nervous before.
Please, nobody tell my wife that we were talking about the apple core issue in our home.
Hopefully she's getting the kids ready right now.
Yeah, I'm picking up my phone, looking, see if she's texting
you're
me.
Like, you're worried she's going to kill you and leave your corpse like an old apple core.
An old apple core rotten in the cup holder in the front seat of her car.
It's what she does.
We're talking about things that you've changed or tried to change about your partner. And my wife, she eats apples and leaves the core on furniture or in the car. This is gross. Taz, that's nothing. My wife leaves sink water in after washing pots and pans until it gets cold. And then I have to reach in and pull out the plug in that cold, dirty water.
I don't know why, but that is one of the worst feelings, having to reach into that sink, especially if there's old pasta floating around and stuff in there.
If the water's still warm for whatever reason, it makes it a little bit better. But once it gets cold.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Yeah. There's some other suggestions how I could send the message to my wife about the apple cores a little bit better.
Yeah, here's one. Hey guys, when I was in university a long time ago, we had a roommate that didn't do his dishes. So our solution was to put his dishes in his bed to give him a little reminder when asking countless times didn't work. So my suggestion to Taz is to put those apple cores on her side of the bed. She either gets the message or she divorces you. Either way, you're free of apple cores.
This isn't a deal breaker thing. It's just something that bugs me. My wife is fantastic. I can't imagine being married to anyone else. She's amazing. She's just the best person I've ever met in my life. Except for the apple core thing.
Small
it's
just, thing.
It's the pretty much the only thing mm-hmm. that bugs me. And if that's the only thing I have to put up with, I'd say I have it pretty good. I will not be putting apple cores on my wife's side of the bed.
Yeah, that's...
You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, that's like what they did. They put a horse head in the Godfather bed, right? Like, that's like, it's not passive aggressive. That's just straight up aggressive.
Look at how nervous I am. I'm almost shaking here. I'm so nervous about how this is going to go over at home, just talking about it on the radio. I'd be terrified for my wife's reaction if I filled her side of the bed with her gross rotting apple cores. Not talking about changing your partner, but just a little tweak here and there. I've made the terrible decision of bringing up the fact that my wife leaves apple cores around the house, and I'm sure it will be an issue when I get home today.
Guaranteed.
But there's many calls coming in about the apple core thing and about things they wish they could tweak about their partners. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, I just want to share some stuff about my partner that would drive me nuts if I heard you talking.
Yeah.
My pet peeve was always anytime I would make something, food or like a shake or something, she would always not eat it or drink it right away and let it sit and get either cold or, you know, if you ever make a smoothie at home, how it kind of settles and it
almost congeals.
Yeah, it gets too liquidy.
It gets too liquidy and the bubbles get to the top. And then, you know, jumping in and being like, you know what? If you're not drinking it, I'm going to drink it because I don't want to waste it. Tacos were the worst.
So she's a food waster.
Well, a food, not immediately eater.
A food waiter. Waits too long.
Waiter, yeah.
Well, you should take all those tacos, throw them under her pillow and see how she reacts.
Yeah, or the drink holder in the front seat.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hey, it's Taz and Jim. Who's this?
Mary Lynn.
Mary Lynn.
In all fairness, you stopped doing the strawberry thing in the sink. And I think it's fair request that she should stop doing what she's doing because that is slimy brown. It's disgusting.
Mary Lynn, I thought the same thing. I brought that up. I've actually tabled that.
Have you ever done your
argument?
Have you ever done a thing where your phone falls between the seat in the car and the console, and you reach under and you found an old dirty apple?
No, it's not that bad.
Okay,
but she will leave them placed like on a piece of paper on her desk or in the car in the cup holder. That's really the only places I'm seeing them.
But it is a simple request for her to stop as her with the strawberries.
Mary Lynn, can you hold on? I'm going to take down your phone number off the air, and I'm going to get my wife to call you so you can explain that to her. How do you think that would go over?
No, I don't want to. No, I'm just saying.
Now you're nervous.
Yeah, why are you backpedaling?